Good evening. Tonight we're going to be learning the halachas of a borrowed talis. Really, really important. Tonight we're going to be covering Beit Hashem, the halachas, such as, what happens if you're called up? Minchatainis. What do you do then? It's such a common question. Do you make a bracha or not? What's if it's your talis? What's if somebody else? Shul talis, somebody else's talis. Well, so we mentioned the bris yesterday. Same question. Where else does it come up? That you put on a talis?
Rabbi?
Yeah?
What about Mariv? Some shuls have the minhag of wearing a talis.
Absolutely, the same shaila. Yes, very good. Thank you. Perfect. Yeah. You go to a shul which the chazan puts on a talis for mincha or for Mariv. Even in the question is, do you make a bracha or that or not? So that's an interesting shaila. Rabbi Sai, the question is a lot clearer than the answer. Let's get clarity in this. Rabbi Yisai Simon Yud Dalet Iv Gimel is on the plan tonight. Hashol mechaveiroi. Somebody borrows a talis from somebody else. Shoyel mechaveiroi talis. She'enu mitziyatzes. So the initial discussion is, what if the garment is a four-cornered garment, but it doesn't have tzitzis attached? I love your four-cornered garment. It looks brilliant. I love it. Happens to be there's no tzitzis in it. But can I borrow it for the next? So he says, "Potum elahatel b'tzitzis kol shloshim yoim." If you say, "Sure, by all means, take this four-cornered garment. It has got no tzitzis." He says, "No, never mind. I want it anyway." Halachi is a boisa. Listen to that. You can borrow it. You can take it for 30 days without tzitzis attached. So you can wear. What?
No strings.
I was thinking about that, yeah. No strings attached. So you can wear that garment, which has four corners and no tzitzis, for 30 days. Why? Because it's not yours.
You can wear it.
Why? Why can you wear it? Go. It's a baguette with four canvas without it. The answer is, Shulchan Aruch continues, Diksiv Kesuscha. The Torah has an obligation to attach tzitzis on your garment if it's ksuscha, meaning your garment, ksuscha, v'loy, as opposed to shalachem, somebody else's. So what's the difference between 30 days and more than 30 days, less than 30 days? Very similar, yeah. I don't claim, I fully understand that, but what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us here is as follows. Yeah, of course, if you borrow somebody for a year, say you want that garment for a year, I'll give it back to you after a year, trust me, I'll give it back to you after a year. After a year, I'll give it back to you. So the halacha is after 30 days, within 30 days, there's no problem, wear it, four corners, without tzitzis, with pleasure, by all means. After 30 days, what happens is, there is an element of Shulchan Aruch calls mipnei sheniras kishaloi. It looks like it is. And now people say, "Hey, look, this bearish here. He's been wearing this thing. I've checked up. Last month he's been wearing it. 2 months ago he's been wearing it for 5 weeks already. It's obviously his. Well, it's Maris Ein, and therefore people are going to say, "Yeah, look, if this bearer is wearing a four cornered garment without tzitzis for 5 weeks straight, then I can also wear my four corners garment without tzitzis, and that's going to cause a tremendous a negative influence, and that's what we call marisu ein, and therefore midrabon and chachamim are obligated. If you wear it more than 30 days, you're going to attach tzitzis to it, despite the fact that it's not yours." What I fail to understand is, probably what you're going to ask,
even in the first 30 days, still
Maris Ein. Absolutely. Do you check how long you've been wearing this shirt and these trousers? And how does people know? Like, if there's a Maris Ein, then what has 30 days got to do? What does 30 days help? If you're suspicious that people are going to check on other people's clothing, and oh, he's got no tzitzis, so why would I, after 30 days, think that it's his? And it's my sign. In less than 30 days, I'm not concerned about that. I fail to understand that. I really struggle with it. But that's what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us. Yeah.
What about, I had a shaila a long time ago, with a garment which is shatnas, and I was told, even if you're putting a garment on which you don't own, but it's shatnas, even temporarily, you have to have it checked for shatness. Doesn't the 30 days apply for that as well?
No, so you're quite right. It's very true. Shatness will not have the exemption of 30 days. In fact, when it comes to shatness, the poskim discuss the problem of trying things on. It's a problem. It's a problem. There's no simple answer. There's no simple solution. If you try something which hasn't been shatness tested, so what's the heter to try it on? You know, it's not. There's no exemption as by tzitzit as we're discussing now. So it's a problem for sure.
I'm shy about that because just some while ago when I had was going to a ceremony, I had to hire a gown, and they asked a shyla, "How do I know this gown?
It's not shatness.
Got shatness in it." And they said, "You have to have it checked." I said, "Well, I don't own the gown; it's not mine."
Yeah.
I'm just renting it for the day. He still said, "You still need to get it tested."
Yeah, even absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that is a problem. That is really a problem. Yeah. So it actually reminds me. If I can just say in as a footnote, my brother was in the Swiss Army. He couldn't get out of it. You know, in Switzerland, you've got a. He had to be. He was in the.
They're very partial.
They have a very solid army, the compulsory army service. You've got to go there for 3 months. Pardon? Yeah. So the very thing about this, and to my brother, he couldn't get out of it. Tried, but he didn't. He couldn't get out of it. Nowadays, it would be easy for him to get out, I must say. But no, because he was already a medical student by then, and they were quite keen on him. Whatever, this is a story in its own right. But the thing was that when he got this army uniform, he said he couldn't wear it because of. So he was a shy. You know what should he do? He's going back quite a few years already. But he didn't know what to do about sharpness, because especially his army uniforms, they are made out of. They're likely to contain sharpness. So he wanted to know if he could sharpness test. So he had it was a whole thing that they asked. They had officially asked permission because nobody it can be tested. And it was quite a complicated and complex thing to have these the army things that they are made out of very different kind of materials and everything, and it was fine but so that's because you can't assume that it's just fine. Yeah,
it goes back to my point, because if you don't own the garment, well, you're going to have it tested, and let's say they found shatness and they remove it, and then you give it back to the people that own it. Technically, you could argue damage there.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. So, but the answer is that when it comes to shatness, you can't wear anything, even if it's not yours, even if it's got potential shail of shatness. Okay, but let's go back to tzitzit. So we've got over here that if you take something for less than 30 days, and if you listen, there's no tzitzit attached, you can you is potter from tzitzit. By the way. Are you allowed to, if you take somebody else's garment, which has four corners, but no tzitzis, and you're borrowing it for a week or two, which we're saying that doesn't have, it's part of tzitzis, are you allowed to put on tzitzis? Oh wow, I want to make him a nice surprise. I'll put on those tzitzis. You know? Can you put on tzitzis on somebody else's garment if you've got the permission to wear it for 2 weeks?
No?
Zachen Jemivanov. He says, sure, you're giving it back in a better state than you got it. Yeah, Mishnewusif Cotton. What? Chiyuv Gavre. Yeah, but he wants to be nice.
What you're carrying on Shabbos is because is it a beggar, it's not a beggar. So you're saying, it's a different
chepsa
once you put the tzitzis on.
Yeah.
What's the problem? It's a different item.
So therefore.
Put it on.
Says the Mishnevura. If God has bought of a matel betzitzis, a mevorich lo yifsid. Sure, you can put on the tzitzis and you can make brach on it. Come on, noshim shecholis levorich hamitzas shizman gomer. Have shepturis. He says sure. Then he adds what you were saying as well. Comparable. We may liochal lotzis, but b'shabbos rishis rabim to know lebeget. You can attach it. You can make a brach. You can walk around in the shizis rabim once you put on the tzitzis. Yeah. Now, let's continue with the Ramo. V'michzir utach shloshim yoim. What happens if you return there within? So we're saying that within 30 days, you don't have to worry about it. Somebody else's garment, no worries, no tzitzis, no problem. What if you returned it? You got to have 30 days. What happens if you take it for 29 days? Do you know about the parking thing always says, no return within things? Yeah, always. Yeah, it's true, because otherwise you just go away for 2 minutes, you come back, and the thing is, you know what I'm referring to, yeah? No return within. Yeah, so what would be if you give the tzitzis back after 29 days, and then you have given it back, just for 1 minute, and then you take, for a day or for whatever, you take it back, because you want to get out of the problem of putting on tzitzis. You want to wear this four-corner garment, you want to be all cool and sticky, you take the garments out, and you know, but there's no tzitzis to it. So is it okay to have 29 days, you give it back for 5 minutes, you take it back for another 29 days? Chayav apotu. So that's what the Gemara says, Eina mitzaref. You got to have, it's not a problem, it's fine, you can do 29 days, 1 day's break, and another 29 days. That's okay. They have to be consecutive 30 days. Right. Now, what happens if you, and here comes really the discussion, what happens if you're borrowing somebody's garment which has tzitzis on? Do you make a bracha, yes or no? You're borrowing somebody else's tzitzis, or talis for that matter, can you make a bracha on it, yes or no? Or do you need 30 days, or do you need any? So Shulchan Aruch says, Sha'ola kishim etziyatzes, if you're taking a garment that sits on it already, mevorechola, you make straight to a bracha, miyad, immediately. So here comes the point, that if you're borrowing somebody else's talis, you may make a bracha on it immediately. Why so? What's the reason for it? So therefore, but it's not yours. So can I, in theory? So, but the point we just learned is it's got to be ksuscha. It's got to be your garment, otherwise it's exempt from tzitzis if it's not yours. So why is it that if I'm giving you this talus, which is mine, or my tzitzis, which is mine, when it's got tzitzis attached already, you can make a bochanik straight away? Why? It's a mitzvah, right? So what? Pardon?
Is it like a lulav when you borrow something?
Oh!
They have to give it to you.
Very good. Yes, spot on. Full power tonight, Stephen. Full power. Yes, absolutely. The answer is because there's an anocha, there's an assumption that if you borrowing my talus, if I'm giving you a talus, then the assumption is I want you to become the mitzvah with it. I'm not just giving it to you for fun. I'm giving it to you because I want to enable you to do the mitzvah. Now the only way you can fill the mitzvah with it is if I maknae to you, if I'm giving it to you. So yes, it is a bit like the esrog. I'm giving it to you, I'm actually being maknae to you. Yes, conditionally, strings attached. Yeah, I want it back. But it is really a knot. I'm making a kinyan to you. So that's the way that's the way it works. Rabbi said it's really important to get this clear. If you're running off, so that means Rabbi said if you're being called up for an aliyah. No, it's not a good one because you're anyway wearing a talis. You're getting on Tisha B'Av, yeah? You're getting an Ali on Tisha B'Av. No, not a good one yet. Anyway wearing a talis. Which one? Yeah, any talis. What? Shabbos afternoon. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. And then you get an Ali, yeah? And where's my talis? You're checking it. You're checking it. And then a guy next to you says, take mine. And he gives you the talus, yeah? Because it's all right, he takes the talus. So, I'm going to get to shul talus in a minute. Now, you're taking the talus. Do you make a bracha, yes or no?
Yeah.
Why?
Using it.
Yeah, so how does it work, though? So, you're right. So technically, we're not quite there yet. But at the moment, what we're learning is that, yes, if he's giving it to you, he's machnei to you, and that means that it's yours, and yes, you may make a bracha on it. It's not borrowed talis. Halachically speaking, it's yours now. He's given it to you. You can make a bracha, and you should make a bracha, and that's the way it works. However, the story is not quite finished, yeah?
It's not
shol. It's a matana. It's a matana. Yeah. That's what we're learning. It's as if it was a matana, and you make a bracha. So this is certainly the case of Oisai, if you're putting talis on to fulfill a mitzvah. Now, there is a bit of a problem here, and that's a real machloikas achronim. Do you really, why are we putting on a talis? Interesting question. We're going to a bit of history now. The Tolos HaMinhagim, history of Minhagim. Why is it that we're putting on a talis when you're being called up? Why is it that you're putting on a talis when you have an aliyah, when you have a kibbutz. Why? Is it a mitzvah?
I think it's a minhag, isn't it?
Yes, it's a minhag. It's a kovet. That's the key word. The answer is, Rabbi Sai, when you're putting on a talus, even as a shliach tzibur, it's exactly the same concept. It is kovet hatzibur. And to us nowadays, it sounds a little bit foreign, but you can see that solidly in the early achronim. You can see that it's a lack of, that's what Chassidim have a slightly different approach in this. But you see that it's kovet hatzibur to wear a talus. So a chazan's got to wear a talus, otherwise it's a lack of kovet hatzibur. Chassidim don't put on. They don't put on a talus. Personally, to me, it looks very foreign. I must say, to this day, I'm not used to it. I find it very bizarre and foreign, and very, very strange to me that you can have you can get an aliyah, you can get a hak beglila without putting on a talus. Because
is that why?
It's covered at tzibul. It's covered at tzibul. It's covered at tzibul. It should be.
They didn't have to wear it. Some did. Some
Rabbanim it's really. What I'm saying is that the concept of being called up and doing something representative in shul, you got to wear a talus. That's really where the point comes from. A chazan wears a talus. Somebody who hug beglile, he went aliyah. You put on a talus. That's really the way it's been. It has now, right.
Now, but,
pardon? The hat is ituf. It's not the same thing. No, it's a different concept.
By Marv.
So first of all, in the olden shuls, it did. And Marv is not Zman Tfilah, so therefore, you know, it's Lila loves Zman Talus, and therefore. Right, okay. So you're right, because in principle, it's got to do with the fact of whether Lila's Zman Talus or not. But either way, the point I want to get to is that if a person gets called up, he's not really Mikhaim a mitzvah, but as you are saying, what he's really putting on, the reason why he's putting on a talus is because of? Kovrat Tzibur. Now the question is, so what's the question now, if we put everything together?
Do you make a bracha
on Kovrat Tzibur or not? So if I grab your talus in the morning, because I want to do a mitzvah, yes, sure, we're learning now, you're giving me the talus, I'm coining it, and I can make a bracha on it, even though I'm going to give it back to you in half an hour. However, if I'm grabbing a talus just for purpose of kovet hatzibur, is that sufficient reason to make a bracha, yes or no? Is it mine or is it not? So what would you say, Rabbi Stein?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I wouldn't take it.
Probably not. Probably not. So you could strongly, you could argue that probably not. Yeah, so you're right. So you're probably right. You're probably right. You're probably right. You're probably right. Yeah, so you're probably right. You're probably right. That according to this, that for COVID that tzibur you don't make a bracha, even if it's yours, taka, you're the Baal Bris himself, you have a baby, you make a, you put on the talus. You have to put on a talus again for whatever the reason is. You're putting on a talus again, and it could very well be that you won't make a bracha. Yeah. That's in order to get out of a bracha. That's probably to get out of a bracha. Yeah. So one sec. I'm going to just get to your point as well. Now the Mishtabura happens to be that the Mishtabura holds. I want to read those words. The Mishabur says that Nasa the Mishabur says that if you are putting on a talus for covet, for covet at Sibu, you make a bracha. Mishabur holds that you make a bracha. There's a machloek zachroinim. Mishabur holds, however, that if you put on a talus for covet at Sibu, you would recite the bracha, whether it's yours or whether it's somebody else's. That's what Mishavur Paskins. According to Mishavur, Rabbi Sai, if you are being called up, you put on a talus and you make a bochet. There is one disclaimer within that, and that is what is called, what you're referring to, which is the shul's talus. Whose talus is the shul's talus? Whose is it? Who does it belong to? Yeah. So, in theory, the shul's talus belongs to everybody. I would argue nowadays, I'm not sure. Anybody involved in shul committees or something? I'm not sure. Who does it belong to in shul? Who does it really belong to? Does it belong to the shul? Does it really belong to shul? So I'm not sure. So the way it's assumed in the poskim is that the shul talis belongs to the shul, and everybody's got a part in it. So therefore, if you are part of the shul, you could grab this talis. Yeah, it says Kol Yaakov in the corner, beautiful stamp from the 1980s, and you grab the talis. It's yours. You make a brach on it, and you're being called, and you, it's partially yours. It belongs to the shul. You're part of the shul, and you can make a brach on it because it's partially yours. There is an argument, though, to say that the talis shel kol doesn't really belong to you. It doesn't really belong to you. Belongs to the. It could be that it's less than shutters, and you can certainly say, you don't force me to have this talis. I don't want this talis. You know how many people have, I don't want this talis. I don't want it. So therefore, in theory, if you prefer not to make a bracha, that's all you're referring to. If you prefer not to make a bracha, I'm being called up now. And I don't necessarily want to make a bracha, because of various reasons. I don't want to make a bracha. So if I wear my talis, I've got to make a bracha. But if I wear the shul's talis, if it's for cover that sibba only, I can choose to opt out of possessing this talis. I put it on without a bracha, and I'm quicker there to do that here. So with a talis shel kol, you can. Yeah. I believe that's probably where you're coming from. What are you saying? And you said that the minig is,
if I ask someone to don't call Shabbos, he'll take the shul talis and not his own.
Right. I can understand that. Why would he do that? Because he probably, if he wears his own talis, he has to make a bracha, and it's probably, there's man and everything is not. Yeah, it's easy. If he takes somebody else, if he sells a shul talis, he can opt out of owning it. He doesn't make a bracha. Very nice. According to the Mishnah, he'll get a shy. Because if it's his talis and it's for covered, you know, he might not want to make a bracha for covered at tzibur. He might not feel comfortable with it. So it's easy like this. You can opt out. But if it's your talis, you can't opt out. Does that make sense?
But how is it different to Talas Shula? Talas Shula, you would have to make a bracha.
Because I'm machnate to you. I'm positively machnate to you. So it's going to be.
And if you're not. Are you saying there's an umdah?
Yeah, there is an umdah. There certainly is an umdah. Because I give it to you to fulfill the mitzvah. So
the kahal, what's the difference? The kahal also?
No, because the kahal, you can positively opt out.
But it's given to.
Yeah, I suppose if I give it to you, and you tell me, listen, I'm just borrowing it, I don't want to be coined it, and I say it's fine, I keep my ownership of it, then yeah, you can take it without making a bracha, for sure, yeah. I suppose it's an umdana though, if it's not spoken out, as so the poet can say, it's an umdana, then I machinate to you.
Why can't you say the same by Carl? That it's given to everyone in the Carl who gets an aneo, who's a shilach tzibur or whatever.
Says the Mishnah, I'm reading the words of the Mishnah, addressing exactly your point. Says the Mishnah, towards the end of Sifkot Nud Aleph, V'kol zeh betalisos shel isproti. That's all with regards to individual, privately belonging talis. Aval, but betalisos shel kahal. When you've got a talis belonging to the community, ke'ein shelonu metzuz bevot ha'knesiyos, like we have got in our shuls. Tzorich levorich olav, you must make a bracha when you grab the talis. Lekule alma, according to all opinions, afiluk sheloiv shereglav olifnei atevo, even if you're just taking it to daven for the amud, holalas latoyo for an aliyah, mishum, because the talis shel kahal, the talis which belongs to the shul, adayt in ochi konu, they have been purchased for that intention, mitchile, initially, shekal misheloiv ishoise, whoever wears it, she sheloiv will be his, kmoi be'esek, like an esek. Pardon? It's certainly not the minig. Correct. It is not the minig. And I contacted once the gates of then, Diane Zimmerman. I contacted him years ago and I asked him, and he said, the minig is certainly not like the Mishnebu, it's like the Matei Fahim, which is quoted elsewhere. And the minig is that when you take, what do you say? What would you say is the minig? The minig is? You don't make a bracha on what? On the talis lukol. I agree with you. I think that is the minig. The minig is not like the Mishnah Berurah, and when you take a shul's talis, you will not make a bracha.
Would you say there's an exception if, let's say, you don't have your own talis?
Yeah.
And you're using it for the whole of davening.
Absolutely, yeah. So, for instance, somebody goes to shul, and he suddenly realizes, oh, I thought I've got my talis in shul, but my talis is really at home. And then you take the shul's talis. Yes, you can make a brach on it. That's the whole idea why people have been donating talisim, because in order to enable you to make a bracha on it. So yes, it's yours. The question is, and I don't have clarity in it, what if you are guests in somebody else's shul? Happened to me. I was in Manchester for Shabbos, not so long time ago, and I was wondering if there's a shul talis there. Can I make a bracha on it or not? What's the argument? I can, because the shul's talis, that's why it's here. The argument against it is, what's the argument against it? I'm not a member, I haven't paid a penny yet. I walked out having paid in the front earlier, but what, umden or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
If for guests, you can use that without asking, for sure for something that's
involved. I hear. Yeah, you're probably right, yeah, I hear that. I was thinking, maybe that's not considered talishal kahal. They call it maybe for the membership. It's been taken from the funds of the kehilah, perhaps. But you're probably right. It's probably true. It's probably numdana for that. I agree with you.
If it was purchased for the purpose of the shul and it only worked for the members, not for the non-members, it wouldn't have been amalas kehilah. It couldn't
have been like that. It's meant for the whole shul. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like if everybody's making a
brocha,
everyone's got to wait
every
time.
Is it tichlat tzibur a bit?
Yeah.
So you're saying that the minig is on a talishal kol you don't make a brocha if it's a covet. Yeah, I think that's what Rabbi Feingold said is the minig. I think it's probably true. I remember Dan Zimman also wrote back to me, the minig is not like the Mishnah Berurah, and generally we will not make a brocha on a talishal kol, certainly not if it's just for covet at tzibur. Yeah. But a person can. I've always said, if you see somebody going up to mincha, you go up to mincha, he takes and he makes a brocha on it, it's not a kasha. All he's doing, he's doing the Mishnah Berurah. That's what he's doing. He's doing the Mishnah Berurah. Will he look odd? We look a bit odd, no?
Some people do. In the United Synagogue, they take.
They do it? Yeah, they are machmir on the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, okay, I'll basically summarize just very quickly because we're running just very quickly. We've learned if you're borrowing a beggar Dalit Kanfas without tzitzis, there we learned you don't for 30 days, you don't, no worries about it, no tzitzis, no bracha, nothing. It's totally fine. You can wear for 30 days a garment which has no tzitzis because it's not yours. So, Schar, the Torah says it's not yours, and as long as it's not yours, don't make a bracha. After 30 days, even if it's borrowed, it's maris v'ayin. We learned within the 30 days, if you want to attach the tzitzis, you want to make a bracha, by all means you can. Now, if you're borrowing a talis which has tzitzis attached, here the halacha is you can make a bracha immediately on it. A talis sha'ula, the halacha is you can make a bracha. And the reason is because if you're borrowing somebody else's talis, the understanding is that it's maknae to you. It's yours now, as long as I'm wearing it, it's mine and I can make a bracha. That's based on that assumption, person wants to give it to you to make the bracha. Same applies also to talis shel kahal, really, in principle. You got a part in it and you can make a bracha on it. The question is, if it is only done for kovod atzib, if you're not wearing it for the mitzvah, just for kovod atzib, what's the halacha? Then and there, there's a strong argument to say that if it's worn like kovod and not for the mitzvah, that no bracha is recited. Good evening, Abbo Yisrael.